You're listening to the Cornerstone Family Worship Center podcast. Making disciples, building community, and growing together in faith and love.
Gift. And that doesn't mean that we can't speak of it at all. It's just that we cannot describe it with words. The salvation that God has given to us through His Son, Jesus Christ, is just beyond our comprehension. It's beyond our minds to be able to conceive the fullness of it, the power of it, the majesty of it. Amen. But it sure is fun trying, isn't it? Amen. It's a blast trying to express with our own words from our heart, what He means to us. Amen. And so God's unspeakable gift, it is unspeakable. His gift of salvation through His Son is unspeakable in the sense that we just don't have the words to be able to say the depth of it, the power of it. Amen. But we are able to speak of it because it has happened in our life. Salvation has come. Not only unto the world, but salvation has come unto my heart, your heart, if you are a Christian person. Amen. So it's our duty, our obligation, and our privilege to be able to take that message to other people and to be able to speak it to them. So in a sense, we're able to speak of the gift, and in another sense, we're not unable to speak of the depth of that gift. Amen. So we're going to read the traditional, if you want to call it that way, Christmas story. We're going to go to Luke first, Luke chapter 1. Hopefully you have your Bibles with you today, because I don't think we were able to pull it together to get them on the projector today. Okay, Luke chapter 1, and we're going to start reading in the 26th verse. Let us pray over God's word. Lord, we thank you that your word is anointed and it is true. We ask you, Lord God, to take that anointing that you have placed inside of your people and help us to mix that with the faith of your word, that we today receive from you, and that we are reminded once again of all of these wonderful things that have taken place to be able to bring salvation to the world. And Lord, we just thank you for that. We ask your blessing upon it. All that we do or say here today, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, She hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Amen. So there was a miracle that was happening about this time that the angel appeared to Mary, and that was that her cousin Elizabeth was going to give birth. Now, what was so miraculous about that? She was older, and she was not in the natural able to bear children. And yet she became pregnant with John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, the one who would come and say, prepare your hearts, for the kingdom of God has come among you. Amen. But not the same kind of miracle that Mary was going to experience. Going over to Matthew chapter 1, and we have to kind of cross-reference here and go back and forth to get the whole story of what was happening here. So Matthew chapter 1, starting in the 18th verse, it says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. So it says that they were espoused, and there were three stages actually in the Jewish wedding in that day and in the customs of the people of that time. There was the engagement, and it wasn't like our engagement that we think of in our terms today, but it was a formal agreement, and that first part of the engagement was made by the fathers of those two people that were going to be married. That was called the engagement. And then there was the betrothal period or espousal period, and that was a ceremony that was literally a ceremony where they made promises to each other. They made a covenant to each other, and so that was a legal and a binding kind of a thing. Again, more than what we think of when we think of engagement prior to marriage. And then there was the third part, was the marriage itself. And that would happen approximately a year after that betrothal period, or that espousal period. So the espousal period was not just a casual kind of a thing. Not that our engagements are casual in our day and age, but there was more to it than just a guy asking a woman for her hand in marriage or asking her father for her hand in marriage. At this point, they were under legal obligations to be faithful to each other. And it actually took a writing of divorce to break that espousal off. So Joseph was thinking of a way to put her away. And that's the term used for divorcing her. Joseph was thinking of a way to divorce her without bringing any attention to her. And the reason why he didn't want to do that was that it was considered adultery. She broke that covenant, and it was considered adultery, which was punishable by death. So Joseph was a good man in his heart, and he didn't want to see that happen to her, even though at that point in time there were some doubts in his mind as to what was going on with Mary. Amen. Verse 20 says, But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, meaning that he did not have sexual relations with her, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. So before we look at the glory of the birth of this child that was born, let's look at the two people whom God chose to bring all of this to pass. Amen. And I think it's worth mentioning and worth looking at because, as I said in our Bible study a couple of weeks ago, that a lot of times Protestants, if you want to call that, but evangelicals who are non-Roman Catholic, I would say it that way, try to emphasize the fact that Mary herself needed a Savior, that she was not immaculate, she was not pure and holy without sin. But she was pure and holy as far as her standing with God. She was a good woman. And so in trying to emphasize that fact that she needed a Savior just as much as any of us did, we kind of go overboard and we play down Mary herself. And we ought not do that. Amen? This was a good woman. This was a woman chosen by God. And I don't think God makes mistakes. I don't think God just haphazardly says, let's see, well, there's a young virgin. We'll just... No. I believe that God saw something in Mary that he could use and that she would agree to go along with this plan. And so we look at her, and the angel of the Lord said three things about Mary that make her unique. Unique being that no other person in the world has ever done this, what she was about to do and what she was about to experience. So she was unique, separated from every other human being. Nobody else ever experienced that. Nobody else ever experienced it since then. There's one Savior. His name is Jesus. And the Lord chose to bring him into the world through her. So three things that the angel said: that she was favored of God. And we don't exalt Mary and we don't worship Mary. We don't worship any other person on this earth. We worship the Lord God Almighty and his Son Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But the angel said that she was favored of God. She held a special place in God's heart. God looked upon her differently than he looked upon others. That's what it means to be favored by someone or to be favored by God. He looked upon her specially, above and beyond what he looked upon other women of her day. And then the angel said that the Lord is with you. And it's a good thing that he was, because she was going to need him as she faced the ridicule, possibly. You know, we don't read this in the scriptures, but we have to use our imagination just a little bit. She's espoused to Joseph to be married. The scripture referred to her as Joseph's wife, even under the espousal. And so for her to all of a sudden show up pregnant, you got to know that the women of her day and the men were just chatting. Boy, oh boy. I remember that even went on in my family when I was born. I'll tell you something that you probably haven't heard about me yet. My mom and dad got married, and about 9 months later, I was born. And within my family, they were yakking it up, trying to say whether she got pregnant before they actually got married or not. So you got to know that Mary gets this word. She acquiesces to the plan of the Lord. She receives the assignment. She says, so be it unto your handmaiden. Now here I am to be used of you. And so she no doubt had to get some ridicule and some gossip going on from others who didn't know what God was doing in her life. See, you don't know what God's doing in someone else's life and you don't know what God's doing in my life, that sometimes we misjudge each other. And yet God is doing something in us, and he's drawing us to himself, and he's using us for his own glory and honor. And so we have a tendency to quickly judge other people by what we see outwardly. But God saw something in Mary that other people could not see. And then the angel said she was blessed. Mary was different from all human beings in that no one ever experiences. This is what puts her in that unique category, giving birth to the Savior. But because of his birth, his life, his sacrificial death on the cross, the power of his resurrection, we can say, along with Mary, that we have the favor of God upon our lives today. Amen. So we can identify with her in that sense. We can't with that uniqueness that Mary was the one and only. But since that time, Christ came into the world. He lived among us. He died on the cross. He did all of these things. And that was the very purpose for which he was born on that day, to forgive us of our sins, to blot out all of our iniquities. Everything that you've ever done wrong in your life, Christ says to you on the day you surrender to him, it's finished, it's gone, it's done. Not to be brought up again. God won't bring up your past sins into your mind and condemn you with them. Amen. So we, too, hold that special place in God's heart today. We have experienced God's favor. We have been accepted and received of God. Amen. And so we're different from people who have not yet come into that experience. You are favored by God today if you know Christ. If you don't know Christ, it doesn't take very much to enter into a relationship with him. Amen. But in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, it says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That means you have favor today. You've been accepted in the beloved, and you have favor. As Mary had favor of the Lord, we have favor of the Lord. And then the second thing that the angel said to her was that God was with her. How many of you know that God is with us today? He's with us today. He hasn't left us or forsaken us. Amen. Matthew chapter 28, when the Lord gave the great commission to his disciples, verse 19, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hallelujah. People know that there's something happening in the world, and people who do not even necessarily believe in the Bible, you can talk to most people, and there are a lot of people who believe, yeah, this world's going to come to an end one day. You know, they believe that. And they look around and they say, you know what, and it could be pretty quick with the way things are happening in the world today. Not even knowing the Bible prophecies that God spoke in his word, that there would be a purging completely of this earth one day. Amen. And but we have no fear because he is with us. And as he was with Mary, he is with us today. And he said, lo, unto the end of this world, unto the end of this age, I will be with you. God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is with you. He's closer than your own brother could be with you or your own sister could be to you. That's how close, that's how near God says he is with us. And we know that the nearness even brings him within us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. Amen. And so the next thing was said, he said that she is blessed. We are blessed of the Lord, meaning that he has blotted out our iniquities. He has taken our sins upon him and our sicknesses upon him. And he has prospered us. Some people don't like to even use that word prosper because of the quote-unquote prosperity gospel preaching. And there are people who talk nothing about anything but money, money, money. And I don't like it. I'm not in agreement with that. But I am in no way fearful or ashamed or shy about saying that I am prospered by God Almighty. And my life is prospered by God Almighty. Amen. And your life, if you are a Christian, is prospered by God Almighty. We are reapers of the benefits of the birth of this Savior that came into the world. Amen. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Amen. So all of the blessings that any believer in Christ has, you have them as well. Amen. They are promises to us. So this is the kind of woman that Mary was. She was blessed and highly favored of the Lord. And Joseph, we look at him. The scripture says that he was a just man. He was a just man, meaning that he held a right standing with God himself. He was a just man. He was compassionate and kind. When we really look at this story, we understand something about Joseph that we don't read in any other historical accounts or any other scriptures that go into it in great detail, but we can just find out just through what we've read thus far this morning that he was a compassionate and he was a kind man. He was not a resentful person. I'll tell you what, I know of a lot of people in this day and age, had this happened in their situation, they would have ran to break off that engagement. They wouldn't even have considered it or how they were going to break it off. He's already doubting. He knows that he's not had relationship with Mary. Yet she's pregnant. How can that be unless she had intercourse with another man? That would be the natural thing that would come to anyone's mind. And the fact that Joseph didn't just run and say, "That is it, this thing's called off, I'm having you called into court, and you're going to be stoned for your actions." No, his compassion and his kindness in his heart wouldn't even allow that to be done to his dear Mary. He was very considerate. He didn't want to see Mary be hurt. Even though he doubted momentarily, he had to doubt her faithfulness. It says that he was puzzled by this. He was worried about it. And is it any wonder why God saw fit to choose to take care of the mother of our Savior? Joseph was a hand-picked man by God. Joseph was a man who God looked at and said, "I can trust him with what I'm about to do here." Amen. That's what we want God to say of us. Amen. Yeah. He can be trusted with what I'm going to give him to do. She can be trusted with what I'm going to give her to do. Amen. And we all have assignments from the Lord. And we don't have any assignment given unto us that he doesn't trust us for it. Or he had not give us the assignment. Amen. So he saw the heart of Joseph. And not only to be so kind to Mary, but to actually take Jesus as his own son and raise him in that way. Amen. And then the angel said that they were to call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. So now we're getting into talking about the birth of the Savior. We talked about the ones that God handpicked and chose to bring him into this world and to raise him up until he came to start his earthly ministry when he was about 30 years old. Amen. And so now it says, the angel says, "You shall call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So he has saved us from our sins. What does that mean? The first thing that it means to people in this earth is that he saves us from the penalty of sin. God is a holy God. Heaven is a holy place. Nobody's getting into heaven without being holy. But we're all imperfect. We've all failed. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. So how can we come before the Lord unless that debt and that penalty of sin be paid? In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it's a favorite scripture of ours that we know that's a part of what we call the Roman road, that we walk people through and have them see that all of us have sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glory. We've all missed the mark. But it says, for the wages of sin is death. That's what you and I deserved. Because of breaking God's commandment, eternal death and eternal separation from Almighty God. That's what we deserved. Amen. I like Mr. Cooper's thing that when people ask him, how you doing? And he says, better than I deserve. And I know that sometimes can become cliche-ish in the way that we say it, but it is a fact in all of our lives. We're doing better right now than we deserve because we don't deserve it. We don't deserve. Well, we deserve because of our sin and because of breaking God's law was death and separation from Almighty God. But he saved us from that penalty of death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The unspeakable gift of God, the unspeakable gift. He's given us life through his son, Jesus Christ. And then he has saved us from the power of sin. There are a lot of people in the world who are doing things right now in their life, and maybe even through addictions or just behavior things that they go through this same cycle over and over and over again. And the power of sin is effective in their life. It's working in their life. And when Christ comes into our life, he blots out our iniquities. He takes away that penalty of sin that we should have had to pay. And he takes that off of us, and he gives to us the gift of life in this place. Amen. And then he saves us from the power of sin. Sin does not rule and reign over the Christian any longer. Amen. According to who we yield to, that is the servant we belong to. We are the servants of that one. Amen. And so we do not serve the flesh anymore. We do not serve sin any longer. We serve the living God. And we are yielded unto him. And our heart and our desire is to please him. Amen. And I always remind people, a lot of times after people become Christians, they feel like, I failed. I failed the Lord again. I've fallen again. I've slipped again. How can God even forgive me? Because your desire is not to do those things. Your desire is to please him always. And if now that you are a Christian, your desire is to please him when you fail, do you think that he loves you any less than he loved you way back when you could care less about what God thought about you? No way. No way. He still loves us. And he's still forgiving us daily. He's still giving us mercy daily. Grace daily. We're walking in his grace. We're experiencing his grace day by day. Amen. So he saves us from the power of sin. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says this: he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen. And if we do sin, this same John, this same apostle, says that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We can come before him. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. And we have that standing with God today. So he breaks the penalty of sin off of our back, and he breaks the power of sin from us as well. Amen. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. That's what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, and that is the title of this message today. God's unspeakable gift. And so that's where it comes from those words in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Man, it is more than our words can explain. It is more than we can describe with our tongue. The wonders of God's love, the wonders of his mercy, the fact that he blotted out all of your past sins. Stop and think about this. If you are a Christian right now, stop and think about this. If you're not a Christian, you need to think about it as well. That every sin that you've ever committed, God has washed away. Yeah, there's a hallelujah in the house. Amen. There ought to be a whole lot of them. Amen. That God blotted out every sin you ever did in his sight. The moment you received Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know what that means in your life. And I don't know what that means to you. And we could take all of our sins and we could stack them up today to the ceiling up there. Amen. I don't know all the places in your life that you've been. I don't know all of the offenses that you've offended God with. I don't know all of the people in your life that you may have even hurt in the way that you conducted yourself before becoming a Christian. Amen. I don't know all of the gory details of your life, and I don't need to know them. You don't know all the gory details of my life, and you don't need to know them. I'm as open with my wife as I possibly can be in me. But there are things I've never even said to my wife. And I won't. But God knows. And God knows they're blotted out. Make us all just shout in this place. I'm telling you. Amen. Think about that. Everything you've ever done, God's blotted out. Amen. I want to read one more scripture before we close today. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The manifold grace of God. That means the many aspects of God's grace. You know, the grace of God is like a diamond, and it has various facets of the diamond. If you turn it this way, the light hits it one way and it sparkles. And you turn it another way and you see another facet of that diamond and it sparkles. This is the manifold grace of God in our lives. We've experienced God's grace right from the get-go when he forgave us of our sins. But like I said a moment ago, we experience his grace each and every day of our lives. Each and every day of our lives, we receive new mercy from the Lord. That's what the scripture says. Morning by morning. That's what the hymn said. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Amen. Because what you did yesterday, you may have slipped, you may have fallen, you may have fallen short of what God's expectations of you were. But it didn't kick you out of his favor. It didn't put a hedge between you and him. Because he's a forgiving and a loving God. Think about the manifold grace of God in your life. He picked you up right there, and he applied that grace to your life. But how many things have you been through since that time, from that day to this? I've been saved 47 years, and I got news for you, folks. I've had to have a lot of grace in my life. A lot of grace in my life. Because you go through tribulations, you go through trials, you face temptations in this world. There's nothing in the Bible that says, if you follow me, Jesus saying, if you follow follow me, everything's going to be rosy for you. No, he said, in this world, you'll have tribulation. But just remember this. I've been in this world and I've overcome. And I've overcome for you so that you can be an overcomer as well. Yeah. We're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Hallelujah. More than conquerors. Amen. And so the manifold grace of God is that I look over my life and I look at those 47 years and I think, my, how God has carried me along. How God's grace has been upon my life. In my natural, I would have fallen a million times over and stayed there. But when I fall, he picks me up and by his grace causes me to walk forward again. We could count our sins, I said before we became Christians, if we all counted our sins, oh my, where would we be? But I can tell you in 47 years, I can tell you a whole lot of times when I feel like I just failed God. Just messed up. Just blew it. Blew it here, blew it there. Oh, the manifold grace of God. The many, many aspects of that grace. The many facets of that wonderful diamond that is alive inside of you. The salvation of God through Jesus Christ. And he just turns that grace this way and it shines. And he turns it that way and it shines. And he turns it another way and it's shining. It's shining through your life. It's shining through my life today. Let your light shine. Amen. He's in us, and the world needs to know that this baby that was born, the one that everyone's celebrating right now, came into this world to be the savior of the world. He didn't come to create a holiday for people. You know, that's about as far as people know and understand of Christ. They think that he must have come to start a holiday for us. No. He came to be your Savior. He came to walk with you. That angel said to Mary, God is with you. The Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God says to you and me today, God is with you. God's with you. I like the fact that I just can't get away from him. Because I can mess up so bad, I could do that. But his love won't let that happen. His grace won't let that happen. I can find myself over in a ditch somewhere and I can say, oh, Lord, I've blown it. I'm done. I guess you're through with me. And he's going, no, I'm waiting for you over here on the road. Come on. Get back over here. We're going to walk this thing out together. That's the God that we serve. That's the Savior that was born. Every stripe that he took upon himself on that cross, it was ordained from before his birth in that manger. It was the plan of God to save people like you and me. Wow. God planned this. God planned this. Amen. And he planned for you to be a part of that kingdom. He planned for you to be a part of that family. And he planned to bless your life. He planned that for you. And the question to all people in this world today is, do you want that salvation? Do you want God's blessing in your life? And this is the message that we have for people today, to share with them. Christ has come for you. Christ has come to give you life. Amen. Let's bow our hearts before the Lord. Father, we thank you for this unspeakable gift that we speak of today. We can't say the depth of it. We can't say the complete power of it all. We can't fathom the majesty of you and of your presence. Lord, it's more than our tongues can tell. But God, we thank you that you've made us aware, that you've put it in our hearts to see your glory, to see your power, to see the effectiveness of your salvation in our lives and over our lives. We see your grace. We experience your grace. We thank you today for that. And Lord, today, even in this small group, Lord, I don't know each and every person's heart in this building today, but you do. You know my heart. You know the hearts of all people. And if there's anyone who's not in a right relationship with you today, we pray that this would be the day that they surrender completely to you and say, Jesus, I'm going to come. I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. I'm going to surrender my life to you. Lord, I pray that you would speak to any individual that's in that situation, and that would be their response to your Holy Spirit. I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready to serve you. Lord, and those who do know you, I pray that our faith in you will be strengthened today. That we will see this great love once again, this great, wonderful, unspeakable gift that you have given to us. That we will see it again clearly. That as it's brought to the remembrance of our minds, all that you have done for us, we will learn to appreciate that. We will learn to draw nearer to you than ever before. We will embrace you in a greater way than ever before. And we will hunger and we will thirst for more of you day by day. We love you and we praise you today, Lord. As we're praying, if there's anyone here that would say in your heart, I need to get some things right with the Lord today. And I want to come back unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been away from the Lord and I want to come back to him today. Or if you've never ever known the Lord, that this would be a great day. Not just because we're celebrating Christmas, but because you can celebrate a new life in him today. So if you don't know him, if you'll just slip up your hand, I'd like to pray with you today so that you can know Christ before you leave this building. I don't want to close the service today without asking that question. If you have known him, but you know that you're not living for him, and you want to make that right today, you can slip up your hand and I'll pray for you as well. Amen. As I said over and over and over again, we could fall, but God still extends his grace to us to lift us up and to give us another chance, another opportunity to serve him, to love him, to walk with him, because he's with you always. Amen. Anybody that's in that situation, I'd love to pray with you today. Amen. Let's all stand. Lord, we bless you today, and we honor you in this place. And Lord, the word of God has gone forth from my lips this morning into the ears of all who are present here today and to those who may hear it through the website. Lord, in Jesus' name, we commend ourselves to you. We give ourselves to you. We commit ourselves to you. Anew and afresh today, we want to be used of you. We want to speak to people about you. We want the grace and the mercy of God to flow through us, touching other people's lives. Lord, we can learn some things from Mary and from Joseph and from the lives that they lived. Help us grow in kindness and in grace towards other people. We pray for that today. We love you and we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Keep my wife in your prayers, if you would, in case you didn't know that. She had pneumonia and has pneumonia, and she's getting over it right now. But she is, I told her to pace herself, so that's why she's not here with us today. But that doesn't sound good. She's not here with us today. She's here on planet Earth here today. But she's home convalescing and recovering a little bit, and we still have some loose ends to do for our preparation of all of our family and friends coming over to the house. So I told her, you stay home, rest up a little bit. We can do some of those other things when I get home. So just keep her in your prayers. Amen. All right.
We'd like to on behalf of the church to say Merry Christmas to you and Pastor Mary. We thank you for all that you do during the year, and we appreciate you, we love you, and this church would not be the same without you. And we just pray that 2019 will be double blessings for you. Love you.
Right back to all of us.
Did it fall?
No, I was trying to figure out how to shut it off.
Oh, okay.